It is fishing season in New England, but this year, hundreds of fishermen are facing strict new regulations, which will cut their days at sea from 88 to 70, close off areas of the ocean, and require them to use huge nets with larger mesh. A federal judge ordered the changes to revive stocks of cod, haddock, flounder, and other groundfish. But state officials from Maine to Massachusetts are worried that the region's fragile fishing industry could collapse. Maine Public Radio's Susan Chisholm reports from one Maine community that is bracing for the worst.
Even on a rainy day, Port Clyde is the postcard perfect image of an old-fashioned fishing village, with weather-beaten cottages, small boats bobbing on their moorings, and fishermen in orange slickers and rubber boots emptying buckets and unwinding nets. With just several hundred year-round residents and about a dozen groundfish boats, Port Clyde is home to Maine's second largest fishing fleet. A slew of regulations in the mid-1990s put several of the area's fish processors, gear shops, and according to state officials, about half the state's fishermen out of business. Now there are big fears that many of the survivors of that turbulent era will be next.
Everyone's depressed. It's put us to tears. Every family. You know, because we don't know what we're going to do. That's really, really scary.
Melanie Cushman and her husband Randy are already 9 months behind in their boat payment. They had hoped that 7 years of mandatory cutbacks in fishing would eventually pay off. A fourth-generation Port Clyde fisherman, Cushman is the first person in his family to operate his own boat. And he's figured out that he needs to catch $90,000 worth of fish to shore up his debts.
How am I going to do that on 70 days? And plus, we'll live off it, the house payments, the living expense, put the kids through college. You can't do it.
It's not just their way of life that's at stake. Port Clyde is a tightly knit village where more than half of the residents rely to some extent on fishing-related businesses. And with waterfront property in high demand by wealthy tourists, Kim Libby is worried that she and her husband will be priced out of town.
We're talking about selling our house, renting our house. Camping all summer. We won't be able to live here. And all you'll have is, you know, the idle rich.
There are similar concerns 80 miles to the south in Portland, where fish from Port Clyde and other New England cities is either landed on the pier or brought in by truck for auction at the fish exchange. Last year, 250 fishing boats contributed about 25 million pounds of groundfish to the exchange, where the general manager predicts new regulations will restrict landings by more than 50% over the next 3 months. But environmentalists say area closures, fewer days at sea, and gear modifications are essential to restore cod, haddock, flounder, and other groundfish stocks. While the numbers are improving, a federal judge recently ruled that New England's once fertile fishing grounds were overfished. Anthony Chatwin is a staff scientist with the Conservation Law Foundation, one of several environmental groups that filed suit over what they said was inadequate management of the fishery.
The best thing that could come out of this, in our opinion, is that we have a reformed management system which recognizes that all fish that are commercially important need to be managed towards that sustainable level. In the long run, it is at that level that we're going to have a healthy and thriving fishing industry.
Chatwin acknowledges that the transition is going to be tough, with economic consequences that will put some fishermen under. He says the government should begin looking at ways to mitigate the financial pain. But fishermen say the potential losses are as much cultural as they are financial. Portland will not be able to reclaim its fish pier if condominiums and cruise ships move in, no matter how much the fish stocks improve. And Port Clyde fisherman Randy Cushman says he'll never be able to pass on his family legacy to his 17-year-old son.
We haven't talked. My son. I haven't taught my son how to fish.
Cushman says he couldn't encourage his son to pursue something that he himself was so unsure of. Instead, he encouraged him to become the first member of the family to go to college. But following the judge's order and the uncertainty of the family's financial future, the Cushmans sat their son down and told him, regretfully, that he may not be able to count on that either. For NPR News, I'm Susan Chisholm in Port Clyde, Maine.